You're listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
Welcome to Digging Up Ancient Aliens. This is the podcast where we examine alternative history and ancient alien narratives in popular media. Do these claims hold water to an archaeologist, or are there better explanations out there? We are now on episode 72, and I am Frederick, your guide into the world of pseudo-archaeology. This time we will look at the mysterious crystal skulls. Yeah. It's those crystal skulls. Are they connected to the Mayans? Do they have magical powers? Well, a better question is to start to see if they are authentic, maybe. Join me as we will explore this topic together. And I want to thank all of those who supporting the show financially, like Trees, for example. You are really helping me out producing this content. I'm humbled and grateful for your support. And if you want to help out, I will tell you how to do that and how to get some bonus stuff at the end of this episode. And also remember that you find sources, resources, and reading suggestions on our website, diggingupancientaliens.com. There you can also find contact info if you notice any mistakes or have any suggestions. And if you like the podcast, I would really appreciate it if you left one of those fancy five-star reviews that I heard so much about. Now, before I get into the episode itself, I just want to mention one more thing. And as so happens, I'm part of an online project promoting good archaeology. There's many awesome creators who will participate in an online event taking place between the 25th and the 27th of October. Just head over to real-archaeology.com. That's real-archaeology.com, where you can find all the information about this project, who will participating, when, and everything like that, or follow the links in the show notes. Now, with that, we have finished our preparation, and let's dig into the episode. Fellow archaeology lovers, science nerd, and history enthusiast, have you ever dreamt of showcasing your passion for our history and science? Dig no further. Welcome to the official merchandise store for your favorite podcast, Digging Up Ancient Aliens. Embark on a journey through time with our exclusive collection. Wrap yourself in the mysteries of the past with our range of themed shirts, mugs, and apparel. Each piece tells a story about your passions and podcast preference. And for the devoted archaeology aficionados, unveil our latest treasure, the Archaeology Mafia T-shirt. It is more than just apparel. It's a statement, a tribute to those who dig deeper, question the unknown, and unravel the secrets of our ancestors. These are not just merchandise. They are future relics from a time yet to be fully understood. Symbols of your dedication to unveiling the truth behind ancient aliens and the real wonders of our past. Join the crew of Digging Up Ancient Aliens, wear your curiosity, flaunt your knowledge, and join the Archaeology Mafia. Visit our store now and you will get an offer you can't refuse. Let's keep the spirit of exploration alive. Log on to diggingupancientaliens.com/store and grab your piece of history. Remember, the past is always present. So, the crystal skulls. I think most people have actually heard about these at one point or another. They are featured in the Indiana Jones movie we don't really like to talk about. But if you aren't familiar with these objects, the story that ancient aliens and the other usually present is that these crystal objects are powerful for some reason. According to these modern legends, there are supposed to be 13 of these crystal skulls in the world, but only 12 of them has been found so far. But if these 13 crystal skulls would be brought together, something magical or powerful would happen. The effect would differ or differs depending on who is telling this story. That's not great when you have these large discrepancies between stories. But some will say that it can very well control nature, while others claim you get you unlock store information inside the skulls, and some claims that this is some kind of super weapon. As you might suspect, this is just pure fiction. These skulls are modern inventions that can be traced back to a man called Mitchell Hedges. And I will circle back to him and his story a little bit later. Something worth acknowledging, and something that Ancient Aliens even mention in their episode, is that there's thousands of crystal skulls out there, all of them created in our modern time. Philip Coppens even seemed to have a moment of sober reflection in the show, as we hear here.
The crystal skulls have become so famous that the field has been flooded with dozens of modern skulls. And on a number of occasions, people who have possessed these skulls are trying to pretend as if their skull is ancient. And this, of course, is very difficult, because at the same time, we have the skeptics, the scientists, who basically say it is all fake. And so as a result of which, we're really confronted with a mixture of crystal skulls and a very difficult situation.
So while the ancient alien people seem prepared to admit that, well, at least most of them are fakes, they still claim that, well, 12 of them are real. And if you are happy with fakes, there are sites that will sell you kits of all 13 skulls. You don't even have to go out and look for them yourself. You can just set them up at home and get all the medical powers you want, because apparently it doesn't really matter when they were created for some reason. But what skulls are classified as authentic to these believers? And well, again, they are not too specific due to, well, the chance of an authentic skull being disproven, I believe. They seem to agree that the Mitchell Hedges is authentic or genuine, at least according to the believers. Even if, as we will see in a bit, this seems to not longer be the case, or it was never authentic, but we will get to that in a moment. So what is this Mitchell Hedges skull? Sometimes it's referred to as the Skull of Doom. And, well, where did it come from? If we listen to the alien narrative, we often get a story that goes something like this. In 1924, the British adventurer and pulp writer Frederick Albert Mitchell Hedges and his adopted daughter Anna were exploring and excavating a site called Lubuntu in modern Belize. Anna, going into one of these abandoned temples, looking with just a flashlight, and she encounters this rubble of a collapsed altar at the back of one of these abandoned temples. She goes up and starts to move these lumps to the side, and there she discovers a crystal skull. The issue with this story is that neither of the Mitchell Hedges mentioned this in any of their notes from the expedition, or rather, well, Frederick Mitchell Hedges don't mention any of this in his notes from this expedition, nor does any other that were present at the Lubuntu at the time mention this discovery, or the event for that matter. The first time Mitchell Hedges mentioned this, well, senior Mitchell Hedges mentioned this, is in a letter. He mentioned the skull in a letter to his brother, stating that he bought it at an auction in 1943. And this corresponds well with the earliest publication that mentioned this skull. And it's a 1936 article in the Anthropology Journal called Man. And in this article, we can read that the skull is in the possession of a guy called Sidney Burney, a London-based art dealer. The same art dealer that would, in 1943, sell the skull at an auction to senior Mitchell Hedges. And Sidney Burney got his hand on the skull, not from some explorer returning from a Maya temple, but from a French art collector named Eugène Boban, or supposed to have gotten this from Eugène Boban. Boban has sold at least two skulls that we know for sure that he was in possession of, according to an archivist at the Smithsonian named Jane Walsh. You might ask, Frederick, could it not be that this Boban fellow just got it from an expedition in the Guatemalan jungles? While it's plausible, the evidence seems to point to the fact that these skulls originated in Germany, specifically the town of Idar-Oberstein, and this town is renowned for its gemstone refinery, and they also worked quite a lot with crystals. Unfortunately, we don't have hard evidence that Bernie got the skull from Boban. It's not like we have a receipt or little detail in this trade, but we have enough circumstantial evidence to at least argue a decent case that the Boban is the origin. And since we know that Boban got his other skulls from Germany, we can fairly surely claim that the Michael or Mitchell Hedges skull is also from Germany. Now, F.A. Mitchell Hedges didn't really talk much about the crystal skull during his life. He mentioned it in a paragraph in his in the first edition of his 1954 biography called Danger, My Alley. And in this first edition, he writes that, quote, "It is at least 3,600 years old, and according to legend, it was used by the high priest of the Maya when he performed esoteric rites. It's said that when he wielded death with the help of the skull, death invariably followed. The section is, however, removed in later editions of this book. And most of the stories we hear today are told by his daughter, Anna, and she is definitely the one who made the skull famous and brought it out into the larger New Age audience. So what we can say for sure is that this skull was traded in the art scene in the early 1900s. And a reasonable question to ask here is it's been scientifically studied, because toolmarks could actually help us determine when the skull was created and maybe even the origin of this piece of crystal. Now, the ancient alien expert have this to claim about that particular part. Listen here. I'm just going to pause the episode here and thank you, my dear listener, for tuning in. It's great having you here exploring the world of pseudoscience with me. If you want to support the cause of educating people and combating pseudoscience, I'd like if you become a Patreon or a paid subscriber of the show. For as little as $2.50 per episode, which is less than what the Loch Ness Monster asked for, you will help me continue producing high-quality content and gain access to a treasure trove of exclusive bonus material. Imagine the benefits of becoming a paid subscriber, where you gain VIP access to our exclusive pseudoscientific book club. You will have the opportunity to hear me read and discuss the works of our favorite on-screen experts for you. To sign up and become a paid subscriber, simply head over to diggingupancientaliens.com/support. You will find all the information you need to join our community there. Your backing of the program would empower me to create more content that assists people while keeping the show as accessible as possible. So let's combat misinformation and pseudoscience together. Just head over to diggingupancientaliens.com/support to sign up. Together, we will uncover the truth one episode at a time.
When it comes to the Mitchell Hedges crystal skull, it has been analyzed on a number of occasions. Frank Dorland in the 1960s did it as a private individual. Hewlett Packard did it as well. And the British Museum did a very short analysis in 1980 as well. So this skull has been subjected to a number of detailed scientific analyses. In all of those occasions, what was found was that it was almost impossible for a human being to make this.
Is this really what the studies have revealed? Well, first of all, Anna Mitchell Hedges never let the skull be scientifically tested during her lifetime using modern equipment. Now, we have this guy, Frank Dorland, and he was a freelance art restorer. And he kind of got to examine it. And while doing that, he also later did numerous claims about the skulls. But we should note that he did not do a scientific testing of this skull with modern equipment. He did, however, mention that he noticed mechanical grinding on the teeth of the skull, and this grinding was possibly made by tools tipped with diamonds. Now, it was also suggested that the skull was made of a composite of quartz. It was several pieces put together, and based on his observation, Dorland indicated that the skull was likely 10,000 years old. Now, during Dorland's caretaking of the skull, it caught the attention of a writer named Richard Garvin, who managed Hewlett Packard's advertising accounts. Now, Garvin organized tests at HP's Crystal Labs in Santa Clara. The labs discovered that, contrary to Dorland's belief, the skull and its detachable jaw was carved from a single piece of quartz crystal. Notably, HP did not investigate how it was made or try to determine the age of the piece. Later, Mayan archaeologist Norman Hammond, who seemed to have an opportunity to examine the skull, also reporting that he could see some holes that he thinks were made by metallic drill. But this was the extent of the examination during Anna Mitchell Hedges' lifetime. Now, when she died in 2007, the skull went to her husband, Bill Howman, who for the first time would let the skull be examined with modern equipment. The one who was being put in charge of the test is Jane McLaren Walsh, an anthropologist whose expertise is in discovering fake pre-Columbian objects. And she was the one who was going to perform the analysis of this crystal skull. And the tests were all performed at the Smithsonian Institute. And during these sessions, two session here, one in 2007 and one in 2008, they used several different equipments. And in 2008, they also did a SEM analysis. And this would demonstrate that, as Walsh put it, quote, "It seems reasonable to conclude from the SEM images that the Mitchell Hedges skull was carved in modern times with high-speed diamond-coated rotary burning and cutting tools of minute dimension." Analysis of other skulls has shown similar results. In the crystal skull found at the Smithsonian, Walsh found a deposit of silicon carbide, and this is a modern abrasive not used until after 1930. Jane Walsh also compared his skull with genuine artifact made out of quartz from the correct Mayan period. For example, a very nice looking quartz goblet that I hope to have up on the website. Now, the tool marks we find there are in line with the tools available to the people of the time and differs entirely from what we see in these more modern crystal skulls. It might be good to mention that no archaeologists have since discovered a crystal skull at any excavation. We have no good in situ find of a crystal skull, so to say. And all of those found in museums are later creations. Each one that's been examined all indicate a modern origin. And I would suspect that this goes for the other supposed skulls that we supposedly find in private collections. Of course, the ancient alien people claim that an advanced civilization or aliens could have had these tools, and they try to prove this by using historical or legendary sources. So let's see what Chris Morton has to say.
several Native American tribes have similar stories about ancient crystal skulls that were said to have been left behind by the earliest ancestors way back in the mist of time. Some believe that these are ancient artifacts left behind by extraterrestrials, or that they were remnants left over from the lost civilizations.
So we have yet again a claim that Native Americans, or as we learned in previous episode, any indigenous people, have legends clearly fitting with what we see on the television screen. A huge, huge issue here for Morton is that, well, it's just not true. This is an invention by the New Age people and the ancient astronaut theorists themselves. And while some Native Americans might have incorporated these ideas in their belief today, these claims were not present before the New Age authors started to make these claims. And authors, historians, religion experts have all looked at these claims, and none of them have been able to find the origin. And as usual, ancient aliens don't give you a source for where or which group telling these stories. And we have discussed the use of plastic shamanism in the past, the appropriation of Native American spirituality, especially by New Age groups where ancient aliens have strong ties. And it has a long and problematic history. Raina Green's article, The Tribe Called Wannabe, highlights how Euro-Americans have often romanticized and mimicked indigenous culture. And this trend dates back to the 1800s with the Wild West and medicine shows that was popular then. And this fascination has evolved over time with non-native group adopting indigenous spiritual symbols and practices. However, the rise of so-called plastic shamans didn't gain momentum until the New Age movement in the 1970s. These self-proclaimed spiritual leaders often fabricate stories about being taught by Native American elders despite lacking genuine connection to these cultures. A prominent example is, for example, Lynn Andrews, who claims mentorship from a fictional Cree medicine woman, reflecting a typical pattern in such narrative. The New Age movement differs from traditional religions in lacking formal doctrines, membership of structure, and it mainly attracts white, middle-aged participants who pay for books, classes, and workshops, which often is led by other white individuals posing and dressing as shamans. And this portrayal relies on stereotypes and cherry-picked elements of indigenous tradition, distorting the true meaning of both the culture and the spiritual value that these tribes rely on. Claims of Native American legends, like the crystal skulls, for example, are inventions with no basis in authentic indigenous history. These myths emerge in a modern New Age literature rather than pre-existing Native American tradition. The ongoing misrepresentation of Native culture, even in popular media, perpetuates a cycle of exploitation and misunderstanding that undermines the depth and diversity of indigenous spirituality. But this is nothing new in the Ancient Alien series. And this episode will become worse. We meet in this episode a woman named Sherry Whitfield, who is the owner of a crystal skull that she has named Synergy. She claimed to have gotten this from a businessman. How she got it, really, the episode doesn't tell us. But what the show leaves out, but Jason Colavito doesn't, is that Whitfield believes the skull to be from Lemuria, well, older Atlantis. Colavito writes that, quote, she is in fact used it as a source of income, selling merchandise and pimping out its alleged sacred mysteries for cash. All while the unnamed tribe is supposedly believing this object is so sacred that they can't even talk about it. Now, Whitfield says in the episode,
and he said he brought the photos and he brought the little skull to the shaman and the chief, and everything stopped. and they declared 24 hours of feasting and telling stories about the skulls. It was really cool because really they don't talk that much about the skulls in their everyday life. It's part of their sacred secrets and their teachings. Now they say that they didn't make the skull, that it was passed to them as a legacy. So it's an ancestral object. Their legend is that their tribe was started by a white man and a black man, twins. Their whole religion revolves around twins. And they have the twin of this skull. Their legends are that there were two of these skulls made identical. There's a powerful spirit in crystal skulls.
And this narrative presents several problematic aspects that warrant critical examination. Firstly, it seems to misrepresent or maybe even oversimplify indigenous belief by suggesting that an entire tribe's religion revolves solely around twins and their origins can be traced back to a white man and a black man. Now, this seems to impose an external narrative on this unnamed tribe's history and perpetuates a cultural stereotypes and inaccuracy. Secondly, the emphasis on the crystal skull possessing powerful spirits align with, well, debunked myth of often propagated by pseudoscientific theories lacking credible historical or archaeological, as we've seen, evidence. Such sensationalism not only spreads misinformation but also disrespect the sacred tradition of these cultures by divulging supposed secret without consent. Ultimately, this account exemplifies how exotism and a disregard for cultural sensitivity that can lead to, well, as we have learned throughout this series, harmful and misleading portrayals of indigenous people and their rich histories, in case Whitfield's saying is actually true, to start with. Finally, the show is trying to claim that crystals have magical powers in general. In this, they invoke the legendary druids. Jonathan Young says,
"The druids used crystal to tell fortunes, to read the future, to do ecstatic mystical rituals. The Scot Highlanders called these stones of power."
Again, this is based on pure fiction and fantasy, friends. This seems to not have been the case, and the expert I've contacted have not heard that this ever been a thing. They haven't even heard this claim before, but it sounds good and it creates a good historical narratives that sound believable, but in the end it's nothing more than fiction. But it shows how the ancient astronaut theorists or similar types, they are not beyond making up arguments or evidence for that matter. That's why it's so important to fact check what you see online. And I'm not saying that you should take even my words face value. You should go to my sources, you should read them and see, do I give you a proper representation of what they are saying, or am I also trying to sell you something? But for a layperson, this can be very difficult. So while you should try to always go and check the sources, you, to some extent, also need to trust the experts. And I'm always open when I'm out of my depth, as you know. And you're more than welcome to call me on stuff that you find that I got wrong or might have misrepresented. You know, things happen. You can't be perfect all the time, even if I try. But to sum up, all the skulls we have found and examined are modern creation. Many are great works of art and should be displayed in that capacity. But when it comes to the claims about the crystal skull's origins and potential powers, these are all just made up. Every time someone investigates them from a scientific and neutral perspective, things are shown to be, well, very far from what the fanciful story tells us. While it's material for great fiction, plausible, except for that Indiana Jones movie, there are no evidence of alien interference or lost technology. And that will close out the episode. I hope to see you next time, and I will be at QED as usual, and I will give a short talk at Skeptic Camp during the Friday. I think my blocks start at 3 p.m. And if you're there, feel free to come up, say hi, and tune in. I will talk about sea monsters and regional identity and a bit of Vikings also. Now, if you enjoy the show, I hope that you leave a positive review on platforms like iTunes or Spotify, or just recommend a couple episodes to your friends. That's the best way to get people into this. And if you want more information about the podcast or about me, you can go to diggingupancientaliens.com, where you also find a transcript with all the sources that I used to create this episode. Now, if you want to support the show, like the lovely trees, head over to patreon.com/diggingupancientaliens, or head over to diggingupancientaliens.com/support and sign up through the membership portal there. You will get bonus episodes, you get extended episodes, and well, you can even leave suggestions depending on your tier, and a lot of extra stuff. There's ad-free episode. There's a lot of stuff there. And I also want you to go over to the archaeologicalpodcastnetwork.com, where you find many more creations and good archaeology shows. And as I said, go and check out Real Archaeology over at real-archaeology.com. There you can find more information about the upcoming event on the 25th to 27th October. And if you want to contact me, you can find my email on the website, or just head over to Facebook, X, Twitter, whatever it's called at this point, TikTok. And I've been a bit slow on all social media sites recently. And it is, I've unfortunately been struggling with a bit of mental health crisis at the moment, but I'm getting back there. I will just try to push things out again. But yeah, it's been a bit much recently. But yeah, I'm feeling better now. But I can't close out this episode until I have mentioned who has created the music. That's Sandra Martellor, who created the intro music. And our outro is by the amazing band called Trasgur, who is currently on tour throughout, well, Sweden. If you're here, make sure to go and catch them. They're playing with one of my favorite bands called Varnagel, but they're singing Foliehatt. Links to these artists can be found in the show notes. Until next time, keep showing that science. Men jag